Across the Americas on Pan Am Saturn Galaxy, throughout Europe on the Astra satellite system, and around the world on shortwave and internet, this is the Dutch International Service. Media Network, the weekly communications magazine with Jonathan Marks and Diana Jansen.
Great to be back. It's been glorious weather over the last few days, reminiscent of last summer. And as the temperature soars, the media scene in this part of the world has started to take off too, with plans bearing fruit at last. That's brought reaction from all over the world.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. My name is Pedro Novak. I am calling from Lima, Peru, South America. Congratulations on all your English service programs. Please send me internet information, specifically your URL and whether it responds to text-only requests.
No problem. Diana Janssen, Jan-Willem Drekshager and Herman Vermans have been busy on that project. Diana, what's the status now?
Well, after a last-minute technical hitch with our service provider, Radio Netherlands worldwide web pages have now been posted on the internet. I note from the discussion groups that there was a little confusion about the exact address we gave last week. Let me give it again, but I'll read it in a slightly different way. It's http://www.rnw.nl/rnw. You need a worldwide web browser such as Netscape or Mosaic to access the pages. We're also looking into ways of making the system operate faster.
As from next Monday, our colleagues at the Dutch domestic public broadcasting organisations will also launch their internet pages. They're all in the Dutch language, but I'm sure that won't deter some people. The address there is http://www.omroep.nl. All the domestic broadcasting organisations are taking part, with exception of Veronica, who are going commercial in September and have already got their own commercial worldwide web browser. But now back to real radio news.
You may remember our reportage last autumn from the IJsselmeer. The old radio ship Communicator was moved there from Portugal and became the home of a commercial radio station, Holland FM, now owned by the Veronica organisation. The results with the 50-kilowatt transmitter have been very encouraging, so much so that another organisation has decided to use the same system. The Dutch broadcasting transmission company, Nozema, has been looking for a location to build the transmitter site for AM News, a commercial news station in which Veronica also has a share. The problem has been that existing transmitter sites are full and the frequency of 1395 kHz has interference problems in the evening from Radio Tirana in Albania.
Despite reports to the contrary, the Dutch government seems unwilling to surrender the 747 kHz channel currently used by the public network Radio 1. There had been plans to auction it off to the commercial stations.
After quite a lot of research, the city of Almere on the Flevopolder has granted permission to anchor a radio ship in the waters not far from the tiny island of Pampus. As you take the ring road around the eastern side of Amsterdam, as I do every morning, you can see Pampus Island from your car.
There's a phrase in Dutch, for Pampus liggen, which I suppose we'd translate in English as being anchored off Pampus Island. But what does that expression really mean?
Well, it's used in Dutch to express that somebody's extremely exhausted or very drunk. It originates from the 18th century when the Dutch merchant fleet sailed the high seas. When the ships left or returned from Amsterdam harbour, they had to pass Pampus Island, where there was a stretch of shallow water in the IJsselmeer, near the mouth of the River Ey. There were a series of wooden docks which were used to guide the ships over the sandbank and prevent them from capsizing. But they could only do that at high tide, and the vessel sometimes had to wait for ages.
And while they waited, the crew got drunk. But we digress. Back to the Pampus radio project. The proximity to Amsterdam is important, for at least ensure that some of the signal from AM News is heard after dark when Tirana starts up its megawatt transmitter with religious programs from Transworld Radio. AM News themselves are confident that for most of the day they'll be heard nationwide and maybe even further afield.
We asked Henk Zwijnenburg of the Netherlands Broadcasting Transmission Company if building the ship for AM News is the same idea as building the ship for Holland FM in the IJsselmeer.
Yes, for AIM News we had the plans to make a transmitter ship lying by Almere in Holland, by Pampushaven.
And what sort of power will be used on the ship?
We think in the first year 120 kilowatts. And when necessary, we gave a beam to Rotterdam with 300 kilowatts.
That's quite a lot of power from a ship, isn't it?
Yes, it's a lot of power, yes.
And which ship will it be? Has that been chosen yet?
Yes, we had earlier chosen for a sea ship. But 2 days ago, we examined that the water is not deep enough for a sea ship. Dus I'm looking now for a normal river ship.
I see, that sounds a fascinating project.
Yes.
It's on the 1395 kilohertz, I understand. I mean, that means a pretty long antenna, doesn't it?
No, that's, well, what's long? the antenna height is 50 meters.
And what's the name of the ship?
Well, I don't know. There's no name for this moment.
But you have a target date when you'll be on the air?
Yes, that is in September this year.
This is AM Radio, where active minds get involved and interact.
Staying with medium wave, back to the answer line. Who have we got?
Good morning, Jonathan. Carl Kruger here, Saxmundham in the east of England. HCJB are having another DX test on medium wave, 690 kilohertz, on the 13th of May, which is a Saturday morning at 0600 to 0630 UTC. It's a Spanish-English program once again. Also concerning HCJB, prior last week they mentioned that they'll be changing to 11635 at 0700 to 0830. That has now been compromised and will be switching to 11835 on the 2nd of May, as they've just found out Radio Bulgaria's on there and the signals won't get through. Hope you're enjoying the weather. It's lovely and wet.
It's just lovely here. Five Dutch domestic public broadcasters, the AVRO, CARO, NCRV, EO and the TROS, are planning legal steps against a recently announced central newsroom for the public current affairs network Radio 1. The broadcasters are afraid of losing their identity if the news has to be jointly produced 3 times a day in prime time.
We spend a lot of time in this programme talking about stations that have new licences. But at the same time, there are organisations that lose them too. Chris Greenway from BBC Monitoring is on the line now. Chris, the religious sect Aum Shinrikyo has lost their access to the airwaves.
As listeners may remember, this had been broadcasting via transmitters in Russia, both in Japanese and in English, to audiences abroad, and indeed in Russian to audiences within the former Soviet Union. These broadcasts began back in 1992, and the Russian authorities took them off the air unilaterally, as it were, shortly after the gas attack on the Tokyo underground system last month. This eventually ended up in court, and last week a Moscow court ordered that all broadcasts be stopped completely, and so it looks like we may never hear these Aum Shinrikyo broadcasts again.
And what about Radio Metropolis in Prague? They're still missing from the airwaves.
That's right. Well, again, listeners may remember that over this past winter here in Europe, we've been hearing test transmissions from Radio Metropolis on shortwave, Radio Metropolis being a station that was already broadcasting on FM in Prague. But that last month, in March, these broadcasts ceased. However, we now have news that the regulatory body of the Czech Republic for broadcasting actually has decided that Radio Metropolis will lose its FM broadcasting license. It's one of four stations in Prague, presently broadcasting on FM, private stations that is, that in fact will lose their license to broadcast as of the 1st of January next year. And so it looks like that not only they're going to be off shortwave, but they're now going to disappear from FM as well.
So it sounds as if they spent all their money on shortwave tests.
That's certainly one theory, that it's actually put their main station out of business, which is rather a pity.
Finally, a little update to the FM frequency we gave for Radio France International in London.
Radio France International in London is actually on 106.2 megahertz FM, going on for another couple of weeks.
Hope from the South is a media network communication special, tracing the recovery of radio in war-torn Holland 50 years ago.
Mark May 4th in your diary now.
As we delve into radio's past.
Plus a report on special transmissions from the police station in central Eindhoven.
We will start 4th of May, midnight GMT, and end at noon May the 7th. We have a special call sign, which is Papa Alpha 6, Romeo Hotel November, which stands for Radio Horizon Nederland.
To Canada now, and as from next Monday, May the 1st, several international broadcasters, including Radio Netherlands, will be heard on one of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's domestic networks. We call Marilyn Mercer, who is the executive assistant to the vice president of the English CBC network and manager of a new project. So what's happening?
Jonathan, CBC Radio has two networks, a stereo network and an information network. And our information network, which is basically news and current affairs programming, signs off at 1 a.m. local time and signs on again at 6 a.m. And we haven't had an overnight service since the Gulf War, actually, which we regarded as a sort of an emergency situation. And we did programming all through the night back then. So we thought that we would try to run the English language service of a number of fellow public broadcasters around the world, and we would introduce each hour with our own CBC Radio live newscast, which we are doing.
Just to recap, then what's the schedule? You say it starts at in terms of Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. Yes, it will be heard from 1 a.m. local time across Canada until 6 a.m. local time. And leading off the lineup is Radio France International. That'll be from 1 until 2. Radio Netherlands will be from 2 until 3 a.m. Radio Sweden from roughly 3 to 3.30, BBC 3.30 to 4, Deutsche Welle from 4 until 5, and ABC Australia from 5 until 6 a.m. So that's basically our lineup, and we're very excited about this. We've had tremendous cooperation from our fellow public broadcasters around the world, and we think that even though the overnight period is perhaps a low listening period, that there'll be kind of a cult following.
And, of course, you can always set a tape recorder and a timer and listen to the feature programs in the car the following morning. Radio Netherlands has two feature packages per day. Since, for technical reasons, we only feed the first hour to the west coast of North America at 0430 UTC on shortwave, the hour to be put out by CBC, as from next week, will be taped from our second feature stream. That's at 2330 UTC. That means you get Research File on Thursday via CBC rather than Media Network. The times Marilyn gave were local times because Canada has five time zones.
We have a tape delay system at the CBC Radio Broadcast Center here in Toronto, so we are able to take the programming in at Toronto and then feed it east, which is an hour ahead of us, and then it goes into our tape delay system all the way across the country in the other five time zones. So we've always coped with that, and of course, when we present the programming of the other public broadcasters, we'll be announcing when the programming was first broadcast.
Publicity for the service was launched this past Monday, and talk shows have been plugging the overnight service. In some parts of the country, you can even hear it on FM.
Yes, some of our stations actually broadcast through FM. Our station in Ottawa, for example, even though it broadcasts our information service, it uses an FM transmitter to broadcast its local programming, which is integrated with our national service. Most of our information service stations are still AM, however. About 3 million Canadians tune into our information service each week. Our morning shows, we have 33 local stations around Canada. The morning shows, that is the 6 to 9 a.m. periods, are our largest audience periods. Well over a million people tune in each morning to their local information station.
Put on the output to Radio Netherlands, P.O. Box 222, 1200 JG, Hilversum, the Netherlands. Or fax your fax to Hilversum 724-239.
Shortwave has been in the North American media over the last few days in connection with the horrific bombing last week in Oklahoma City. It features as a news item on the television news program ABC World News Tonight this past Monday.
From this nondescript building near Nashville, some of the so-called promoters of paranoia transmit their hatred against the government to thousands of shortwave radio listeners. Mark Kornke, the host of his own Mark from Michigan program, railed against the government butchers of Waco.
If you check 5065 kilohertz from midnight onwards, you may hear one of the transmitters from WWCR in Nashville, Tennessee, putting out a series of programs which severely criticize the U.S. government.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Intelligence Report brought to you by Viking International Wolverine Productions. I'm Mark Kornke.
And I'm John Statmore, and the date today is April 24.
Mark Kornke is a building maintenance worker at the University of Michigan and one of the most militant militia leaders in the U.S. He's on the air for 5 nights a week and clearly soaking up the publicity. On Monday, he was encouraging people to rebroadcast his program.
By the way, I want to make sure that some of you might be listening on shortwaves that you haven't used in the last 20 years. And if you are trying to listen to us and you're having a hard time, if you do have satellite hookup, you can listen to us on Telstar 2. And for those of you who know about our Guerrilla FM radio network, it's an exciting situation. You too can be an FM transmitting station. As long as you don't jump on anybody else's frequency, and this can be...
Well, later on the same frequency, the program changes, but the message is the same.
I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time. Well, we have a much larger audience tonight, folks, thanks to the propaganda press. They are liars. They are scum. They have no moral values. They have no ethics. And they certainly... wouldn't know the truth if it hit them in the head.
Our correspondent Lou Josephs is in Boston, USA, on the line now. Lou, why is the media suddenly interested? Because these programs have been around for ages.
Now you've had this bombing in Oklahoma City basically put at their doorstep. So there's a lot of interest since several of the principal players in this, at least the media have identified, have shortwave shows.
All on the same stations?
Yeah, surprisingly, everything's on WWCR, and if you've heard the Hour ID lately, you wonder what's going on here. It goes WWCR, Worldwide Christian, and Super Patriot Radio. You and I may consider indecent. Somebody else may think, eh, nothing wrong with it.
Do you think these people are being effective?
Effective to the people who believe in this stuff. You have a whole literally organized network here of a culture behind the culture, so to speak, but from the far right wing rather than the far left wing. It's got its own newspapers, it's got effectively its own radio voice, WWCR, and it has its own places on the internet.
You looked at the Arbitron ratings. Do they show up at all?
What, the shortwave stations? Oh, sure they do, but the amount of penetration is minuscule. But among the groups, they all know where to find so-and-so's program and what so-and-so stands for. We are talking people that make any far-right person that you've ever heard of seem like a liberal by comparison.
In general, is this giving a bad name for shortwave radio?
Right now it is. Other than those of you who are listening to Radio Netherlands, nobody from a legitimate media standpoint has really gotten down to investigate the shortwave connection here.
So we phoned one of the stations putting out these programs.
Welcome to the very best in overseas shortwave radio broadcasting, WWCR. WWCR has 3 100,000-watt transmitters, which serve the world and 7 different broadcasts.
George McClintock, who owns that station, said we were not the first caller. He said he could save us a lot of time.
I know what's wheeling through your mind.
Yep.
I've handled Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and today a wide range of media from around the world. And your reaction is no different than some of these.
McClintock rejects any suggestion that these sort of programs should be stopped. The FCC has no say over political content.
These kind of programs have been on our country and protected for years. I hate to say this, but it's nevertheless true. The Nazi Party was protected before World War II over here. the Communist Party all during the Cold War was protected. Anybody who wants to run for office, I don't care how wacko they are, it doesn't matter. It's their perfect right. If they can meet the requirements, they can do it. So our programs are talking about preparedness. Many of them believe that if the federal government, the U.S. federal government, does not change some of its ways, there will be a Bosnia. I don't believe in much of their stuff, but their right to say it, I do defend. We had an ice storm here in Nashville, Tennessee, and this ice storm took electricity out of my house for 11 days. I have a generator in my house now. Does that make me a white supremacy group? Does that make me a neo-Nazi because I'm prepared? No. Do I have food in my house now? Yes. Do I have medical supplies in my house? Yes. Do I have gasoline stored for the generator? Yes. Do I have a gun in my house? Yes. These are all American, God-given rights.
George McClintock. So, if you have the money, WWCR certainly has the airtime. Now to politics of a different kind, and Victor Gunatilaka in Sri Lanka. As you may have heard in the news, there's been renewed violence between the Sri Lankan government forces and the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, or the LTTE. This has resulted in a renewed media battle on the airwaves, as Victor now reports.
Well, yes, after 6 months, the peace talks broke down between the government and the LTTE. And along with that, I see a new turn in the broadcasting scene. Suddenly, we hear a new station, a Tamil station, and they are using 6035 kilohertz with the service starting at 1315 UTC and going up to 1500 UTC. Now, anybody might notice that the frequency and the time slot that Transworld Radio used right up to the 31st of March.
So that would indicate it's coming actually from SLBC transmitter, or at least that's possible.
Well, it appears, even from the modulation quality and the signal strength, so it appears that it's the same transmitter, which is a 12.5 kilowatt transmitter in Putlam, and even the timing, the transfer radio used the same frequency at the same time, so I don't know whether they're trying to catch some of the old transfer radio audience.
What about the name of the station?
Well, there is no name as such, and there's no signature tune. The carrier comes on at 1300, and at 1315, it suddenly goes into modulation with some programming, music, and talk shows. So far, they're announcing no station name, but announcing that the station is active from 7 to 8 p.m. In the evening. So that roughly corresponds to 1330 to 1430 UTC.
But what's happening as far as the LTTE? They used to broadcast from India on shortwave as the voice of the Tamil Tiger. Now, that's of course, that was 10 years ago. What's happened since?
Well, yes, Johnson, that was the start of clandestine broadcasting in South Asia. Well, things changed quite a little bit after the LTTE and the Indians fell out. And about 6 years ago, the LTTE started their own service from Jaffna. Initially, it was on shortwave in the 7 megahertz amateur band. Then they finally graduated on to frequency modulation and the FM band. Well, along with that, they also introduced a couple of TV stations. But in 1991, there was a total breakdown of the electricity supply to the north, and people just couldn't watch a TV or even radio. So now the LTT has limited itself to a very short broadcast on FM daily, but this has increased since the breakdown of the peace talks.
Okay, so it's only on FM. You can't hear it down there in Colombo?
Well, unfortunately, no. I've been trying very hard with directional FM antennas, but no luck for me, Jonathan.
Okay, what's happening on shortwave?
To start off with, last week, Arthur Cushion mentioned the possible return of KHBN Palau around Easter. Well, it did return to 9965 kilohertz from 12 hours to 19 hours. Well, the service from 12 to 16 now is to East Asia, but from 16 to 1900 provides an excellent signal here in South Asia. While listening to 9965 around 1700 UTC, a very interesting station for us here in South Asia, and not a very rare, it's a rare one as well, and that's the Wings of Hope from Lebanon, and the frequency 9960 kilohertz, 9960, with English programming around 1630 UTC up around 1700. Well, Radio Veritas is using a new frequency to the Middle East for its Filipino workers, and the frequency 11830 from 15 hours to 16 hours UTC. Especially on Sunday, they have a religious service for the Middle East workers who have no access to any other religious broadcast locally. So that's a very interesting frequency for Radio Veritas, 11830, 15 hours to 16 hours, and the station will be most interested in reception reports from the Middle East.
What about news out of Europe? Is anything coming in?
Well, the Vatican Radio puts in a nice signal on their newly introduced 22-meter band, and that's 13765. 13765 beam to Africa in English at 1730, providing quite a good listenable signal down here in South Asia, Jonathan.
Well, Victor, I noticed that earlier this month, Radio Japan started using the BBC's Ascension Island relay station for some of its broadcasts, at the same time reducing the amount of time they hire from Africa Number 1 in Gabon. For instance, the general service is on the air at 13 hours UTC, 15400, and 21490 kilohertz, beam to West and Central Africa. Both originate from Ascension Island. Radio Japan's also announced a television service for North America and Europe. You can get a program schedule and transponder details by sending a fax to the NHK Media Development Department. Their number is 81 for Japan, and then 334-655-814. In Europe, you can see NHK International TV Broadcasting, as they call it, on Astra 1B, as part of the JSTV channel on 11.568 GHz. JSTV is actually scrambled, but the NHK bits are in the clear. US viewers can see the same programming on Galaxy 6 Transponder 5. Victor, what about hearing shortwave commercial radio from Japan?
The NSB, Nihon Shortwave Service from Japan, is one of the few home service stations that we can hear from the Far East, especially from Japan. And I've been checking out their frequencies, and they still provide a rather weak signal, though, on 9595 kilohertz, 9595 kilohertz, around 12 hours UTC, and that's the NSB. But a better reception on 3925 and 6055 kilohertz. Programming, of course, is in Japanese, and it's quite an interesting frequency for real tropical band DXs here in South Asia.
Carrying a lot of business news, from what we understand.
Well, sometime back you did an excellent program on the numbers station, Jonathan, and some of the people here in Sri Lanka have been asking me for frequencies where they can pick up numbers stations. Well, right now I get pretty good signals, and the frequency 4880 kilohertz, 4880 kilohertz, around 1730 UTC, with a female voice giving numbers. So if you're curious about the number stations, I think you could easily get a good demonstration of one of the stations on, once again, 4880 kilohertz, around 1730 UTC.
And what language does she use?
It's the phonetic alphabet. I suppose we could say English, because things like Lima, Foxtrot, the standard phonetic, radio phonetic alphabet.
And finally, Victor, to something that makes a bit more sense, but coming out of Africa.
Well, Jonathan, FEBA Seychelles uses 12 megahertz for the first time, and that's 12090 kilohertz, 12090 kilohertz to South Asia, 1315 to 1530. And the last 30 minutes, that's 15 hours to 1530, is in English. Reception is excellent on this out-of-band frequency, 12090 kilohertz.
Victor, thanks for joining us.
This is me telling you this, the program is Media Network.
Now over to Melbourne, Australia, where Mike Bird is waiting with the propagation survey for the last 7 days.
Well, Diana, solar activity picked up last week, and the geomagnetic field was disturbed on Sunday and Monday. Solar activity ranged between low and high. The high was on Saturday, when sunspot region 7863 produced two flares. The first was at 11:51 UTC, when an M7 flare was observed. The second was an M1, which peaked at 1742 UTC. The solar flux was 92 at the beginning of the week, and by Tuesday it had dropped to 70. The average works out to 81, which equals an effective sunspot number of 21, and that's down 9 points on the previous week's level. The geomagnetic field disturbance indicator, the estimated planetary A index, ranged between 3 and 25, which corresponds to quiet to active conditions. The magnetic field was generally quiet until Sunday, when a coronal hole produced active conditions until Monday. On Tuesday, the magnetic field quietened to unsettled conditions.
Right, and what can we expect between now and next week, May the 4th?
Well, IPS Radio and Space Services expect solar activity will be low. The geomagnetic field should hopefully be quiet to unsettled, except tomorrow and Saturday, when we expect another coronal hole will produce active conditions.
Thanks, Mike. And that's all we can squeeze in.
From reporters around the globe, as well as Diana Yanta and myself here in Hilversum, have a sunny weekend.
Bye for now.
Media Network is a Radio Netherlands presentation. Copyright 1995, all rights reserved.